Well, church, if you'd open up in your Bibles to Psalm 23, we're also going to have the words on the screen this morning. I'd like to invite you to join me in something we've been doing every week that I've loved getting to do. I love getting to hear as you read God's word out loud. And so we're going to read Psalms 23. Would you join me in doing that? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. House Lord forever. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for walking with us throughout our lives, making us to lie down, causing us to walk beside quiet waters. Thank you for restoring our soul. Thank you for leading us along right paths. But God, as we talk about this next passage today, thank you for the fact that in the middle of the dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, for you are with us. For your rod and your staff, they give us comfort. God, thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our life, not only in the times that are good, but God, also in the times that are dark. Thank you for who you are, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, church, we're going to look at verse 4 today. Many of us probably have heard this in different words. We grew up with the King James Version, and I'll kind of be flipping back and forth between the King James wording, because every time I try to say this verse, I always say the valley of the shadow of death, because that's just what's in my brain. It's what I grew up with. So I always have to go find myself having to go back and read it, because I always mess up the words for the NIV. But it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I want to talk a little bit today about what we do when the lights go out. What do we do in those moments where there is no more light, where things seem dark, where things are scary, where things are just bad? I want to talk about how God as our shepherd applies in those times as well today. So, this whole entire passage, we've been talking about this, it's a metaphor. David is instilling this word picture to help people understand more of who God is. And so he's bringing up this word picture that is drawing people closer to who God is as he talks about a shepherd. Because most of the people that are sitting there listening to this and singing this song, they have visions in their head of what a shepherd does. They have visions in their head of what a valley looks like. And so David says, even when I walk through the valley, and he's talking again as himself as a sheep. And if we recall some of the things we've talked about sheep are not that bright. They can't see very far, and they don't have a lot of natural protection. So naturally, sheep don't really like dark places. They don't really like to go to places where they can't see very well without some sort of protection, without their protector walking alongside them. And in that day, if you go to Israel today, you'll see a lot of the area is sort of rolling plains, high hills that drop down into valleys. And so these valleys were places where you couldn't see that much. There was a very low visibility, and there was a high likelihood of there being something in there, like a bear or a lion, something that could eat the sheep. And so it was naturally kind of a scary place. And so when we talk about the valley today, the valley is a place of low visibility and a high chance for fear. It's a place where you can't see very far, but it's also a place that provides growth. The reality is that mountaintops and hilltops provide great visibility. You can see for miles and miles, but it's in the valleys that things grow. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this today. The reality is, we all have valleys in our life. We all will have moments where we get into a low point where there is a high opportunity for fear and there's low visibility. We can't see much of what's going on around us, and there are things that are scary. There's things that are bad. There's things that are evil. There's moments of mountaintops in our life where we can see for miles. Everything is so crystal clear. We're on top of the mountain. But then there will be moments where things get lower, where things get tougher. There's going to be difficulties and disappointments and discouragements, suffering and sorrow, resentments, pain, moments of hurt, frustrations, failures, and moments of just fatigue, tiredness, not wanting to go on another step. We all will have moments like that in our life. The reality is, I have found that you can't necessarily plan for the valleys in life. Like, you don't know when the valley is going to hit. You don't know when the call is going to come in. You don't know when the diagnosis is going to come in from the doctor. You don't know when the valley is going to happen. You can't plan for it, but you can prepare for it. You can prepare for the valleys in life. You can prepare for the low points in life by drawing closer to your shepherd. And so I want to talk a little bit today about valleys, talk about some reasons that we can be encouraged in the valleys, talk about some things to remember in the valleys of life, in the low points of life, in the moments where we don't have a lot of visibility, we can't see in front of us too much. What do we do in those moments when the lights go out, when the clarity is gone, when there's high fear in our life? What do we do in the middle of the valley? So I'm going to talk about three things coming from this passage today that we need to remember in the valley. And the first one is this. The first thing to remember in the valley is not to be discouraged. David says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why is that? We're going to talk about that here for a second. Why is it that we cannot be discouraged, that we can fear no evil in the midst of the valley? The first one is this. Because it's temporary. The valley is temporary. You notice David here doesn't say, yea, though I may camp in the valley of the shadow of death. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley. There's two key words there, the word walk and the word through, because valleys are things that begin here and end over here. And the word walk implies that he's walking, he's moving forward. Rodney Atkins, when I was growing up, had a well-known song that I loved. It said, if you're going through hell, what do you do? Keep on going. Don't slow down. Reality is, when you're going through the valleys of life, it's important that you keep moving. There is a beginning and an end to it. We don't camp there in the valley. We keep moving forward. See, I've known some people who have gotten into a valley in their life and they stop moving. They are still in the same valley of grief, despair, anger, betrayal, whatever thing. They have made camp there. They have a condo there. They have a lake house there. They stop moving forward. They stop walking. There was no going through the valley. They're in the same place. They're trapped in this valley of guilt, shame, fear, regret. These things in their past are still in the same thing they were 10 years ago. You know, about 7 years ago now, my mom and I went through a pretty difficult loss. We lost my father suddenly. And for my mom especially, losing her husband, there's a lot of grief that goes with that. There's a lot of pain. It is a valley of darkness in those moments when you suddenly lose a loved one. It stinks. You know, one of the best pieces of advice we got, one my mom would talk about quite often, is this idea of always moving forward and always celebrating the small wins. And in that moment of grief, especially when you just lost your husband, boy, there's a lot of small wins that you have to celebrate. Like sometimes the celebration in that moment, the step forward of that day is, today I got dressed and put on clothes. And if you've ever gone through a lot of grief or despair or even depression, you know sometimes that's a win. I put on clothes today. My socks match. Yes. Man, I cried a little less today. I actually did go to work today. Whatever that thing is, it's important to keep moving forward when you're in the valley. not allowing the valley to overcome you to keep walking. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley. The first reason that we cannot be discouraged in the valley is because we know it's temporary. We know if we just keep moving forward, the valley will end. It has a beginning and an end. And the second thing, reason we can be encouraged in the valley is this, because I know that I can grow from it. I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you've climbed to the top of a mountain, gotten to look out, especially in Colorado or somewhere that just has beautiful mountains. It's amazing. Like, you get to the top of this thing, and you can see for miles and miles and miles. And especially if you're in Colorado or some of these places, it's always amazing to me the fact that you get to the top of this mountain. But the reality is, I don't want to stay there for very long. For one big reason, there's not a lot of food. There's not a lot of growth. In fact, you get to the top of the mountain, and especially in places like Colorado, it's all rock. The growth is down in the valley. All the green stuff is down in the valley. All the food and all the good stuff is down in the valley. In the same way, mountaintops are amazing. But I need some valleys in my life. And if I'm following God and walking with my shepherd, I can grow from those valleys. In 1 Peter 1:6-7, Peter says this. He's talking to people who are being persecuted all over the world. And he says, in all of this persecution, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter says that these trials that they're going through is much like gold. It's being refined. This fire is bringing out the impurities and making them even more pure. Then in Hebrews 12, the author tells his audience that, listen, when you're going through these things in your life, look at it as something that God is using to bring discipline into your life, to grow you more and more like Him. Rejoice in the midst of it. Then in Romans 8:28, pretty well-known passage, Paul writes that we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. There are some moments in life where God will bring me into a valley to grow me, to make me better. And other times, there are things in life that are just evil. But God can bring the good out of it. There are some things that are just the result of the fallen world that we live in. People being evil, doing horrible, awful things. And it's amazing how many times I've come to God in moments and I'm like, God, they did that to me. God, they suck. God, they said that to me. I can't believe they did that. They're terrible and horrible. And sometimes almost like God's like, "That's yeah, I got it. I have that under control. I'll work on that." But listen, while you're in the valley, while you're here, can we just kind of grow you for a little bit? Like the fact that, yeah, that's great. They did a bad thing. But can we work on that anger? Can we work on that desire to have revenge that you have going on in your heart? Hey, while you're in the valley, can we go ahead and grow your perseverance a little bit? Can we grow that desire to please people? Because you probably wouldn't have hurt you so bad if you weren't constantly trying to please people and worship what they thought of you instead of what I think of you. It's amazing what God will do with us in the valley and how He will grow us and make us look more and more like Him. See, like I said before, I love mountaintops. They're amazing. But my faith is built in the valleys. My faith is built in the dark moments. When astronauts go up to the International Space Station, one of the big problems that astronauts have is the fact that they can lose somewhere between 10 to 50% of their muscle mass in one mission on the International Space Station. The reason being is because when you're not in gravity, your muscles are no longer having any resistance. You no longer have anything that's working against your muscles, because the reality is your muscles grow from resistance. And when you don't have that, they start to wither and die. In the same way in our life, our faith grows in the midst of resistance. Our faith grows in the tough moments of life. Our relationship with God grows in the valleys of life. Valleys can grow me if I will let them. But there is one thing I have noticed. If I don't grow in the valley, I will find myself going back to the same valley over and over and over again. Like, do you ever know someone who has had the same exact problems with people that they had in high school? Like, the same little things where, like, their friend group explodes every 2 or 3 months because somebody gets in a fight with so-and-so, and you're like, dude, you're 40. What is going on? Because they never grew from the valley. They never grew up. There's a story of a woman who went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, so-and-so, she told me to go to hell. What should I do?" And the pastor said, "Well, don't go." Because the fact is, you have a lot of control in your life over what you do when someone says something to you. But I've known some people that, man, the moment something bad happens to them, the moment someone says this to them or says this about them, hell comes out immediately. But the more I look like Jesus, the more I walk with my shepherd, the more heaven's going to come out of me when I'm entered into the valley. The more light there's going to be in the dark valley because I have more of him working in me. So if I grow in the valley, I will find that the valleys get easier and easier. I won't find myself in the same valley over and over and over again. You know, it's interesting. Whenever I think about valleys and tough situations, it's always interesting to go back to our ancestors a little bit. Most of us, if you're from the South Dakota area, you probably are descended from someone who came over here on a ship and said, "Hey, let's go over there to the really cold place and farm. There's no roads? Ah, it's fine. There's like no infrastructure? Ah, it'll be fine." And I don't know, it's interesting. Every time I hear stories, especially from my wife's family, it's amazing some of the things they went through. Like, it's just crazy. It's like, and they're so just nonchalant. Yeah, and then his first wife died. Yep. Then married the wife's sister, and then the next one. And yeah, she died too in childbirth. And it's like, you know, they'll go through these generations, especially the ones that have like multiple generations of wives that have died in childbirth. Like, stop having kids. Like, you hear them go through these stories. And the things that they went through and how much pain and loss and things that they've had to deal with. And even you go back to like the pilgrims when they first started the Thanksgiving celebration. And like, what were they thankful for? "Lord, thank you for the new iPad that you have given to us. Lord, thank you for the grocery store that just opened up down the street." No, they're like, "Lord, thank you that we had enough food and we didn't die of dysentery." Like, they were able to be thankful for so little because they had this toughness, this growth that they had developed in the valleys, and they trusted God in the midst of these valleys. And sometimes when we don't grow, we're the kind of people who are like, "God, the internet's out. What are you doing? Are you even on the throne?" Like, we just have moments where so little can set us off and send us into a deep, dark valley because we've never grown from the valleys. When we grow in the valleys, our faith grows. That's the second reason. The third reason I can be encouraged in the valley. Because I know that it's temporary. I know that God can use it to grow me, but ultimately, because I know who's with me. That's what David says. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." See, I found in life that life is never about what I'm going through. The most important question in life is who I'm going through life with. It's not about what I'm going through, but who I'm going through it with. I found it interesting. As you watch people, you can see people that handle the same situation in life, but they react differently. Anytime I go through a valley in my life, I got ultimately two options. I can faith up or I can freak out. I can draw closer to my shepherd or I can freak out. It's interesting in John 16:33, Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When we focus on the trouble of life, it's so often how much our trouble will rule us. The Bible says that we should let the peace of God rule in our hearts. But when we focus on our circumstances or the pain or the valley or the darkness or the things that we don't know or the things that we can't see, what we'll often find is that those things are what sit on the throne of our heart instead of letting God's peace rule in our heart. Fact is, when we focus on our Christ instead of our crisis, our Christ will set us free. When we focus on our Christ instead of our crisis, we'll find ourselves being free. In Hebrews 12, the author says to run the race set before you. This endurance race, this is not a sprint, this is a long distance marathon. He says to run the race with perseverance. And he says to do that by fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Meaning that he's the one who's going before us. When we're running, we're not running through something that he doesn't understand and know. The Bible says in Hebrews that he knows all the things that we go through. We don't have a high priest who doesn't understand our afflictions. A high priest that goes, I don't know what it's like to suffer in that way. We have a high priest in Jesus who allows us to come before the Father, who knows every single thing you've ever gone through. Every temptation, every trial, every pain, every regret. He understands it all. He's our pioneer, and he's our perfecter of our faith, meaning that he's perfecting us through his Holy Spirit, making us look more and more like him. And it says, then, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. So the first reason I can be encouraged in the mountains or in the valleys is that, man, I have so much going for me. I have God with me every single place that I'm going. God can use this to grow me. He's not going to waste this hurt. He's going to use it to heal me more, draw me closer to him, make me stronger. And ultimately, God is leading me through this time. He's walking beside me, and it's temporary. I'm going to get through this. The valley has an end. Second thing is this I'm going to talk about today. To remember in the valley. We just talked about it for a second here, but I want to unpack it a little more. It's the fact that God is present. David said, for you are with me. Reality is that following Jesus is not about the absence of problems. It's about the presence of Christ in our life. Following Jesus is not about, man, everything will go well, I'll get an A on every report card, life will be easy, I'll always get the promotion. It's about the fact that Jesus says, listen, in this world you will have trouble, but I'm going to be with you through all of it. I've already overcome it. Jesus says, I will be with you through all of it, surely till the end of the age. Following Jesus is not about the absence of problems, it's about the presence of God in our life. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will hold you up, my righteous and victorious right hand. The fact is, when God is near, we have nothing to fear. It's interesting. When David has been speaking so far, he if you notice, he's been speaking in the third person about God. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He restores my soul. But you notice when we get to the valley, suddenly the person changes. Suddenly he starts talking about God in the second person. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Suddenly, it goes from this third person talking about God to suddenly directly talking, God, you are with me. Because it's interesting, when we get into the valleys is often when we come face to face with God. It's often when we draw closer to God, suddenly it's not God in the third person. It's God, you are my shepherd. I need you right now. Suddenly we stop talking about God and start talking to God in the middle of the valleys. When we're in the valleys is when we draw close to God and begin talking to him. hearing from him. It's when God becomes real. Thing is, we don't have to fear the valley. The only thing to fear in the valley is that I lose sight of my source, my God, in the valley. I start trying to rely on myself to get myself out of the valley, and that will never work well. So what we have to remember in the valley is that we have reason to be encouraged in the valley. Do not be discouraged. Do not fear. Secondly, understand that God is present in the valley with us. And finally, understanding that God will guide and protect you. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a big stick, often had a knot on the end of it. The shepherd would carry his whooping stick. Anything tried to mess with his sheep, it was getting smacked. It was getting hit. It was getting killed. This brought comfort to the sheep, knowing that anything that will truly harm me, that will truly come against me, it may seem dark right now, it may be unpleasant, but I know if anything really is going to harm me and come after me, I got a big shepherd with a big stick. And he's right here beside me. And secondly, the staff. The staff had a, as you often see, if you've ever been to any children's Christmas pageant, it's a stick with a crook on the end. And the point of that stick was to be able to grab the sheep. If there was a moment where the sheep got stuck in a little crevice, the shepherd could reach down and grab onto something and pull them out. Or if there's a moment where the sheep's trying to go off a cliff, the shepherd can reach out really quick. Nope, 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 come back this way. And so what's going on here? What's bringing comfort to the sheep, David, here, is the fact that I have a God who's protecting me. I have a God who's, even in the midst of the darkness, is right there with his big stick. But he's also got another one to grab me and keep me away from the ledges. I can keep walking forward. As David would also write later, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is leading him and guiding him through the dark valleys of life. The point of that is this. As we walk through the valleys of life, God is actively involved. He's not sitting back up in heaven in his box suite going, yeah, well, good luck with that. Hey, $5, he doesn't make it through. Like, God is actively involved. Even in the moments where you feel like all the lights are out, like he's not there, he's right there beside you. He's walking beside you and leading you and guiding you and protecting you, growing you. It's interesting. Like I said earlier, I love the King James Version of this passage because that's just how I heard it growing up. And I love a couple of the words that they use. They talk about the valley of the shadow of death. The NIV is much more succinct. Dark valley. And that's great. It's a good description. But the valley of the shadow of death is one that I love because of one word in there. It's the word shadow. The valley of the shadow of death, which would also be a dark valley. See, when he was referring to this, the valley of the shadow of death, he was referring to a place that a lot of people knew and understood. There were some valleys around Jerusalem that literally had mountains and hills so high around it that when the sun would come up in a certain way or be on either side of the hill, suddenly this valley was incredibly dark. Until about noon when the sun would come up and shine directly into it, revealing what was in the valley. But otherwise, this valley was a very deep, dark place full of a shadow. It's full of a lack of light. It was scary, especially for a sheep. In the same way in our life, there are moments where we can't see the sun, where there is a shadow over us. But the thing about shadows that I have found is that shadows are always bigger than reality. Shadows are images without substance. I know when I was growing up, you'd have moments where you'd look over on the wall and you see the scary shadows on the wall. You'd see something moving. Oh! And people would go, it's just a shadow. And that's kind of the same way in our own life. There's moments where things get so scary and we think, man, everything is going wrong. There's no way I can get through this. And sometimes we forget it's just a shadow. We forget that God's got us firmly in his hand, in his victorious right hand. He will not let you go. That even when things seem like it couldn't possibly get any worse, no, he's guiding you, he's leading you, he's growing you, he's drawing you closer and closer to him. Even in the moments, the valley of the shadow of death. Remember, it's just a shadow. There's more to come. And the fact is this. Finally, shadows do not exist without a light source. There are no shadows without a light. The fact is, we have the ultimate light in Jesus. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what things you're going through or what people you're walking with, even outside of this place, who are maybe going through valleys right now. Sometimes we talk about how valleys are these sources of fear, and they make us want to freak out. And I want to be clear. I know that some of us are going through some really deep, dark stuff right now. And as you go through your world, man, there's terrible things that happen. There's death that it just shouldn't happen. There's diagnoses, there's scary moments, and there's dark moments. What we can do in life is we have two choices. We can stay in the darkness and curse at the darkness and go, man, it shouldn't be so dark. Why is it so dark? I'm tired of the darkness. Darn you, darkness. Or we can draw closer to the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever is in me will have eternal life. I just want to invite you today. I want to ask you this question. A question we've been asking throughout this series. Who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who is walking with you right now through the dark valleys of life? As maybe if you're going through one of those valleys right now, I want to encourage you. Your shepherd is right there beside you, but maybe you aren't really walking with him. Maybe you aren't really talking to him. I want to encourage you that he's there, that he loves you, that he wants to draw you closer and closer to him. He wants to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He wants to guard your heart and minds with that peace in Christ Jesus. He wants to continue to walk with you and comfort you and lead you into green pastures. He wants to restore your soul. If you've never started a relationship with this shepherd, I just want to encourage you that there's a God that loves you, that loves you so much. Even when things seem like the lights have gone out, I just want to encourage you. God loves you. He knows exactly where you're at. He's walking beside you, and he wants to be your shepherd and your Lord. All you got to do is give him everything, and he'll lead you into life everlasting. Would you bow your heads with me as we close today? I just want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for the fact that even when we go through the dark valleys of life, you are right beside us. You've never left us nor forsaken us. But God, also thank you for the fact that your word says that you are working all things for our good if we love you and are called according to your purpose. And so God, thank you for the purpose that you're going to bring out of the pain that's going on in this room right now. For those that are walking through a deep, dark valley, I want to thank you that if they are walking beside you, you are going to grow them in amazing ways. God, I pray that their faith would grow in mighty ways. And God, for any of us who are just struggling to trust you as our shepherd, God, I pray that today is the day that they're reminded, they understand how much you love them. The fact that they're not alone, that you want to be their leader and their guider, the one who provides for them. God, thank you for who you are and how you're working. God, thank you for how you walk with us through the valleys. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Church, let's continue to worship together.